And welcome back to Freedom Revamped, the podcast. My name is Deshawn, and I am so excited to be joined by Simone. Now, Simone is a writer. She is the mother of Sage Reads and your book plug. Simone, say hello to everyone.
Hey, y'all. How are y'all doing? Well, y'all can't respond, but hey, y'all.
They're responding at heart. Well, Simone, we are so excited to have you today. Today's topic will be healing and wellness, and I am so excited to hear what it is you have to say in regards to that. Now, listeners, as you are familiar, we are Freedom Revamped, and Courtney, our founder, always talks about the concept of practicing freedom. But before we dive into that, Simone, can you tell us, what does freedom mean to you?
So, for me, I'm going to talk about my idea of freedom. So, for me, freedom is two things. It's a mindset and it's a feeling. So, when I say it's a mindset, I mean it's having original and lucid, like fluid, formless thoughts. You're not really influenced by other people's thinking, other people's opinions. You kind of just stay in your own lane, mind your own business, and do what you were given the vision to do. So, and I can't say that I'm always free mentally, because there are times where I might be in my lane, I might be doing my thing, I might be really feeling myself, and then someone very close to me and who knows me very well might say something kind of negative toward what I'm doing, and it might kind of shift me and kind of take me off course for a little bit. So I would say mental freedom is 98 to 100% of the time being very committed to your vision, to your mindset, to that little feeling that you get that feels right, and to the life that you're giving, just being committed to staying the course with that. And then when I say that freedom is a feeling, what I mean with that is it's really subtle yet peaceful nudge that we have when we're doing something that we're supposed to be doing. And I think if you pay attention to that little nudge, pay attention to that little voice, pay attention to that peaceful feeling, and you just follow that, I think you can definitely be on your way to being totally free and just being in alignment with, you know, God or whomever you believe in, just being in alignment with that higher source and trusting the visions, the goals, the life that you were given to live. And just living it to its capacity. I think that's true freedom.
I love that. So Simone, Sage Reads is it's a blog that you created around books. And one of the things that you mentioned in the description on your website is that books have inspired you and they've broken your mental shackles. Mm-hmm. And I love the way you said that. So I want to know if books are your way of practicing freedom. Is diving into a good book your way of tapping into your freedom?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Because books are so many things. But one of the things I love about reading and about literature is that it kind of connects you to people you'll never meet, people whose thoughts are something that you need to get through whatever you're going through. I think books are just a great like liaison between the world and you. So yes, when I am in a place where I need to get like mental stimulation and I want to just see a different point of view for something, then I go to a book because it's written by someone else who's not me, who has a different perspective, and I want to know that perspective. And sometimes it just shatters whatever I had in my mind because now I'm considering your perspective. So,
I love it. So I am so excited to go ahead and jump into this conversation on healing and wellness. I think it's so imperative right now. We're just two short days away from when we found out about Breonna Taylor. So it is so important to heal right now. Specifically for me, because I'm not gonna lie to you, that kind of broke my spirit. I was not, well, I was expecting it because, you know, this is a system that has let us down before, but I was
Absolutely.
hoping for better. So as we dive into healing and wellness, I first want to ask you to talk to us a little bit about spiritual healing.
So I would say, you know, right now, I'm never going to say that I'm totally spiritually healed. I'm totally, you know, emotionally well. Like, no, but I think spiritual healing, the first thing to accept is that it's a journey. It's a lifelong journey. It's not something that's gonna end when you're 40. Like, it's a lifelong journey. And I mean, I'm in my 20s, so how do I know it's a lifelong journey? Because I mean, I've talked to people older than me, I look up to people older than me, and people who are on the same spiritual journey that I am on, and they say the same thing. Like, it's just a lifelong journey. And I mean, I've seen in my past 20 something years that you never get to a point where, you know, you're like, okay, good, done healing, now I'm good for the rest of my life. There's always a new lesson, there's always a new obstacle, there's always room for growth. So,
Definitely.
spiritual healing is it's that. It's just taking it day by day, growing at your own pace, seeking out guidance from the creator, your ancestors, whatever and whomever you believe in, just trying to really develop a relationship, talking to them, you know, asking for guidance, thanking them, showing gratitude. Just, I think spiritual healing, it's the practice of like removing yourself from you, removing yourself from yourself and from all external distractions, and just really focusing on a higher presence. So, spiritual healing, of course, can come in the form of praying. For me, it comes mainly in the form of writing. Like, I journal, I have so many journals because I literally write all my prayers down, affirmations. I write like everything down, and I feel that for me, when I write, it's like I'm speaking to my creator just without verbally expressing it. And I don't know. For me, like, spiritual healing is like having my pen, having my book, and writing out a conversation with the creator. And I truly feel that he or she, you know, I'm not really sure, but he or she like reads it. It sounds crazy, but it's like I just feel that my journal, my pen, my thoughts, my feelings are acknowledged because I put so much, you know, effort into it, and I believe in it. I believe in a higher power. So spiritual healing is truly believing. I think it starts also with believing. Like, you have to believe that you're not just here by yourself, and you didn't just fall out of the sky one day and, you know, here you are. Like, no, you have to believe that you're being guided, that you were put here for a reason. And once you believe that, and once you accept that, and once you trust that, because you have to trust it too. You gotta trust that you're on the right path. You are where you need to be. You're gonna get what you need to get. You're gonna meet who you need to meet. You have to trust that. So it's belief, it's trust, and it's just, you know, going with the feeling, going with the flow, and having the communication.
I love that. I love that you mentioned how writing was your source of spiritual healing. I think it's very interesting because when we think about healing in general, if we're talking about it from a medical sense, people heal from different diseases in many different ways. Of course, there are specific cures, but they always talk about how things work differently for different patients. So I think when it comes to spiritual healing, that's the same. I myself, I also indulge in writing. I love to put pen to paper. Like, I'm real old school. Even when it comes to notes, I want to put my pen to the paper. But I really love that feeling. I also am a heavy music indulger. Like, I love indulging in music. Music speaks to my soul. I'm an artist, so coming from like theater and musical theater and like the emotions that's attached that was attached to the music and the shows that I was a part of, makes me so connected to the music that I listen to. So I specifically right now, shout out to Alicia Keys. This new album is speaking to my soul. It's so
I
good.
gotta listen to
Oh, sis, you do. It's
it.
really good. But like things like that are spiritually healing to me. She has a song on there called So Done, and the lyrics are healing to me, especially in the place that I'm in right now. You talk about connecting with higher power, whatever it is we believe in. I believe in God, and I feel like he connects to me through the arts, whether it be, me watching a TV show or a film, and a character says something that almost speaks directly to the place that I'm at, or the song, like I'm listening to music and the lyrics speak directly to where I'm at. I feel like he's very intentional about the things that we, about us. He's very intentional about us. He, and we say he, but they care about us. And with that being said, all the little things matter. And I always talk about, like, even when it comes to the little things, like catching my birthday on the clock, I'm like, oh, look at God smiling at
Yes,
me,
me
or
too.
whatever the case may be. Those type of things are healing for me, especially even if it's something that's small. I could be having the worst day ever, and I look down and I see my birthday on the clock, or something pops up in my favorite color, or whatever the case may be. And those are, to me, little nudges, little touches to say, like, that God cares and that matters to me. And that usually is what's healing to me. So as we talk about, oh, go
Yeah,
ahead,
I
go
want to
ahead.
say something too. And when it comes to spiritual healing, I want people to understand that, don't try to subscribe to what everyone else is doing. You know what I mean? Like you said,
Yes, ma'am.
sometimes when you look at the clock and you see your birthday, you're like, oh, yes, God is smiling at me. Like you have your own, like the creator God will speak to you in your language. Like the way other people are spoken to is their way of understanding. You can't be frustrated when, you miss the fact that your birthday was on the clock. Like maybe that's not how you understand God speaking to you. So you need to then pay attention to what you understand because, I mean, we're always being spoken to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and definitely. I think it's also important to listen. That was a skill that I had to learn. I would go to God in prayer asking for answers, but then I was rambunctious and running around with the hustle and bustle of life, and I never had time to listen. And when those type of things happen, sometimes God has to hit us with a very abrupt stopping point to be like, hey, slow down, listen. And that's not those come in the forms of tests and trials and things like that, that kind of slow us down to remind us of who God is. So I think that, like you said there, it's very important to not look at others or compare others' way. Like I mentioned earlier, like everybody's prescription's different. You know what I'm
Absolutely.
saying? The way that you heal is going to be different from the way that I heal. So the medication I use might not work for you. So just remembering, however it is you connect to, or however it is you find spiritual healing that is specific to you. And that goes back to the intentionality. You know, God was very intentional with the way he made each and every one of us, and knowing that that language that he generated with you and him is just you and him. That's your language. No one else speaks to him the way you speak to him. So I think that that's very important. So as we continue to discuss it, why do you think it's important that we go about practicing spiritual healing, especially with all that's going on in the world right now? Why do you think it's important that we make sure we take out the time to heal ourselves spiritually?
So right now I'm in my room and I'm looking at my plants. And I was talking to someone the other day and I was telling her, like, it's crazy how when you surround yourself with living things like nature, it teaches you so much. And I've never been a pet person, but I understand now why people have pets. Because like with my plants, like I learned so much. And I say that to say this. When I think spiritual healing is similar to water, right? And like I said, it's an ongoing thing. No one needs to be drinking a jug of water or five jugs of water every day. You just have to take, how much you need to keep yourself going to sustain yourself. Same with plants. If I overwater my plants, meaning, and I guess with spiritual healing, that would look like, just trying too much, doing too much, trying to hear, trying to listen, for what I think God is trying to tell me, and you know, forcing God to tell me what I want him to tell me, it's not gonna work. The plant is gonna die. And what that looks like for you is you are probably gonna hit a wall, you know, you're gonna crash. Now, if you give the plant too little water, it's also gonna die. It's gonna be dehydrated. It's not gonna be fulfilled. Same with you. If you are not practicing spiritual healing, if you're not getting in touch with your creator, having a relationship, relying on them, you're not gonna be fulfilled ever. You know what I mean? Because you're gonna be relying on yourself, and we're intelligent, but we're not as intelligent as who we were created by. So we can't just rely on ourselves. We can't just rely on each other. We have to rely on a higher power. So that's why I think it's important, is because it's what guides you. It's what sustains you.
I love that you brought up the metaphor of a plant and growing, because it is interesting. Plants need someone to water them. Or they need a source of life, whether it be light or whether it be water. So it's very important that we remember and that we're reminded that we need to be poured into. Mm-hmm. We need light from others. So that's a very interesting concept that came up there. But I love that. I love that metaphor. Yeah. So we kind of talked about it a little bit earlier, but elaborate a little bit on ways in which you find healing.
So like I mentioned earlier, I write. I write when I'm angry. I write when I'm excited. I write when I'm grateful. I just write. I know you can probably tell, but I'm really big on feeling. Like, I'm really big on that. I think it's because I'm working on it. I'm working on strengthening my intuition and my discernment, but I'm just very big on that. Like, if something feels peaceful and something feels right, chances are you're supposed to do it. So with spiritual healing, for me, I just make the time to do things that feel right. Do things that make me feel alive. Do things that, you know, are just fun, just light, because life, especially at our age, I don't know how old you are, but I assume you're in your 20s.
I'm 26.
Yeah, I'm going to be 26 on Sunday, so.
Yeah, early birthday.
Thank you. So, you know, especially at this age, we just are dealing with so much that, you know, spiritual healing, like, it's a necessity. So, in addition to writing, like I said, I'm very big on feeling. So I do things that feel good. And another thing, this is something big. So every Sunday, I do something called Simone Sundays, because I'm a workaholic. I have 25 jobs. I do a lot. I'm a girlfriend. I'm a daughter. I'm everything. So it got to a point where I was just so overwhelmed. Like, I felt like I was going crazy. And I decided, you know what? Everybody has me from Monday to Sunday. When is Simone going to get Simone? So then I said, you know what? I need one day out the week, just one day. So I said, I'm going to choose Sundays, and that's going to be my day to do nothing or to do what feels good. It doesn't even have to be nothing, but just what feels good. If I feel like I want to drive around town for 45 minutes, I'm going to do that because that's what I'm feeling led to do. So I would say that I practice healing by just following the feeling, follow that peaceful feeling and just run with it, because it never, ever steers me wrong. So
I love that. I think for me, similarly, I am a workaholic. I work a job from 9 to 6 on weekdays, so full-time job, and then I've been very serious about my physical health right now, so like in the gym quite frequently. Mm-hmm. And then I am a giver, so whenever people ask me to do things or to be there to support them for whatever the case may be, I rarely ever say no.
Yeah.
So I had to learn how to say no.
So it's so hard though. I know, girl.
Oh, so hard. So in doing so, I freed myself up to have a lot more time to do things that genuinely make me happy. Yeah. And That's the way that I found healing. I love water. Like, I love the sound of it at night. I'm like, hey, Google, play water sounds. Like, that's my thing. I love being around it. I just love the way that it makes me feel. So I've been able to like take myself to the lake or drive up to North Georgia to go to a waterfall or whatever the case may be. I went tubing with some friends the other day, so I was actually in the water, just like taking time to do the things that make me happy. I was spiraling in the midst of this pandemic. I have been working nonstop. I didn't really get the beautiful break that some people got, because thank God I was blessed enough to keep my job during the pandemic. So working through it was kind of rough, because there was no work-life balance. So then I had to figure out how to heal myself mentally and emotionally, because I was sitting at a desk, coming home, eating and going to sleep, waking up the next day, starting it all over again. So life had become very mundane. And I'm a creative,
Yes, I
and
was
that
just
does
gonna say,
not
girl, you're an artist. I know that's like so
like
difficult.
that does not work for me. And I had no time to be creative. Now, outside of auditioning, which was slim to none during the pandemic, as an actor, like I wasn't even able to connect to the one thing that makes me happy. So it took me like, getting up and doing like a lot of casting directors were doing monologue competitions via social media and things like that. And I was like, you know what? I'm committing to these things because my soul needs it. Like these are the things I'm committing to because I don't have any other way to be creative. So for me, like you kind of mentioned, the way in which I find healing is diving into the things in which I feel most aligned. I feel most aligned when I am within nature. And I feel like I can hear God the loudest in those spaces. And then I also feel most aligned when I'm doing what I believe to be my purpose, acting or being a creative, creating. So that is how I get my healing. I go directly to the source, the places in which, and the things in which God has gifted me. I go directly to those things because it never fails. Those things heal me spiritually. I could be having the worst day ever and come home, and that will connect me directly to my creator and give me peace. So that for me is how I heal.
Yep, it never fails, like you said, ever. It's
And
just,
never.
we just, you know, we just always have excuses, and that's just a fact. We just, oh, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. Like you should,
Yes.
what you should not have all the time for is for the things that don't make you feel alive and don't make you feel well. You know, and I had to have that talk with
Definitely.
myself. Like, girl, stop saying you ain't got no time. Make time. Like, make the
Yes.
time.
Yes.
So one thing I
Yes.
also started doing was waking up earlier. Since I always complain about I ain't got time, okay, give yourself more day. Wake up earlier so
Yeah,
you have a few
yeah.
more hours. So.
Definitely. That I mean that's the solution. I think the best way to look at it is we complain about things that sometimes we have the power to resolve. So, it's reflecting on them, hearing what we're saying and what we're complaining about and realizing, oh my gosh, I have the power over these things. We have power over most things that we feel are a burden or a struggle. So when we fall into that power and we accept that power, we're able to overcome them. You brought up wellness, which is what I want to kind of start to dive into. So I personally believe wellness is a practice. I think you have to practice it. And the reason why I say that is because you mentioned this earlier when you were talking about spiritual healing initially, that it's almost impossible to say that we're perfectly emotionally well or mentally well or whatever the case may be, because life has twists and turns. But what are some ways in which you practice wellness? And that can be in terms of mental wellness, physical, emotional wellness, whatever is more prevalent to you today.
So I think when, okay, so when I think of the word wellness, I also think of the opposite. So being unwell, being sick, disease, you know, being depressed, frustrated, sad. So the things that make me depressed, frustrated, sad, unwell, sick, I do the opposite, right? So if doing this one task or having this one job or being with this one person is taking away my peace. It is way too expensive for me, and I need to do the opposite. It's making me unwell. So I need to practice wellness. So I would say for me, I just kind of sit down and I do a lot of audits in my life. Like I sit down and I look at the people in my life, the things I'm doing, and I kind of just grade them. Like, okay, how is this going? Is this going to get better or has it been going like this for the past 9 years? Is this going to get better? And I just do that with everything. And then I make a decision to either, if it's a person, I have a conversation with a person. Because I truly believe that, like you said earlier, we have the power to change most of the things that we go through. And if you are doing, if you're engaging in things and, you know, pouring into relationships that are making you unwell, making you sick, you have to do the opposite to get well. So, like I said earlier, if it's costing me my peace, baby, it is too expensive. No, no, I can't.
I love it. I love it. I love the metaphor of it costing too much. There are so many things in life that are too expensive, we are living outside of our means. That's the best way to put it.
Yes, ma'am.
Some of us need to revisit our budgets. But as far as for me, I think right now, biggest things have been mental and physical wellness. And the reason why I say both of those things, because essentially those are what has been affecting my emotional wellness. So getting more rest, when we talk about physical wellness, I need to get more rest. I need to make time to do the things, like you said, getting up earlier so that I can get everything done in the day, so that I can get to bed at a decent time and allow my body the rest that it truly needed. Also, going to the gym. I'm a smaller frame, but I am in love with being in shape, like being in the gym, making sure that my body is functioning at like its best capacity is something that I'm working on right now. And then when it comes to mental health, committing to me, like my biggest thing right now is committing to myself. You can commit to so many things in life, but when can you say that you've committed to you? You commit to jobs, you commit to people, you commit to events or whatever the case may be, but there has to be a time in which you commit to yourself. And I think that, unfortunately, it took me till 26 to figure that out in what I would consider a quarter life crisis. But I have come to a place where I realized that committing to myself, as much as I used to talk about how much I loved me and I was trying to love me, if I really loved me, I needed to commit to me, give myself the same time that I gave others. So I love that you talk about this Simone Sunday, because that's an intentional way to commit to you. And essentially that helps you to be well, you know, emotionally and mentally. You have that day designated where you know no matter what goes on during the week, today is the day that Simone gets well.
And so I love you gave examples earlier, and you know, I should have probably given examples too. But for me, resting is also a way that I practice wellness, because it's essential. Because when you don't rest enough, well, you know, I'm not going to speak for anyone else, because I know people who function off like 3 hours. But me, if I don't rest properly, it's like I'm just discombobulated, you know. So I have to make time to rest, make time to read, make time to write. Make time to just do nothing. Like doing nothing is actually like a thing in itself. Like people ask me, you ain't busy. I am busy doing nothing, because you know, us being at where we are in life, we're always on the go, always have something going on. So it's so important to make time to do nothing. Just relax. It's like a car. You can't drive a car forever. You have to rest. You have to fill it back up with gas, fuel, just like you got to fill yourself up with fuel and go again.
Yes.
So it's the same thing.
Agreed. I definitely agree. I think we need to normalize doing nothing. Okay. When I say I'm doing nothing, I literally mean I'm doing nothing. Because the more time that I allowed myself to do that and not, you know, shame myself or feeling any type of way, because I feel like oftentimes doing nothing takes on the idea of being lazy, and that's not the case. If I'm not doing anything, it's because I genuinely need rest. Like I said before, I'm a person who is always on the go. So when I choose to do nothing, it's because I need to do nothing. I need to lay up and, catch up on Girlfriends on Netflix because, that's what I need to do today. And I don't feel bad about it or whatever the case may be, but just really allowing ourselves
And you deserve
that
it. We
opportunity.
deserve it.
And that's it. We need to make sure that we remember that we are deserving of being well, and we are deserving of healing, and we are deserving of peace and of joy, because too often we shortchange ourselves those things, and that's what drives us crazy. That's what drives us to, spurts of depression or whatever the case may be. I was battling with, and sometimes still currently am battling with, anxiety and depression, because at 26, you feel like you're supposed to have things together that you thought you were going to have together at 21 or at 22. And at 26, I don't have those figured out. And I'm not even like, I'm so happy that I've come to a set of peace where I'm not even concerned about what 30 is going to look like, or what 31 is going to look like, or what 27 is going to look like for that matter. I'm concerned with now, because I lived in the future. I'm like, an overachiever, so I was always planning for the future and what was next, so much so that I wasn't enjoying the now. So that was a part of my mental wellness too, making sure that I allowed myself to leave that space so that I wasn't thinking all of these thoughts that were then sending me spiraling downward, because I'm like, oh, well, I need to be doing this and I'm not doing this, and now I'm beating myself up for things that realistically I don't have control over, because those might not have been in the plan of
And
my
you know
creator.
what?
So
They might still be in the
just
plan,
really allowing
but
ourselves
just
that.
you probably need to learn some things before you get those blessings.
Exactly. And I think our biggest problem is putting ourselves
Girl.
on timelines. So we have this biological clock. I
Don't
don't
know
know
where it
where this
came
clock
from.
is, but honey, it's been ticking. It's been ticking. And there's all these things that we think we have to do that we don't necessarily have to do right now. So I think that's important. In closing, I just want to say thank you so much for being open about the ways in which you heal, in which you find wellness. What is one tip that you want to leave our listeners with when it comes to healing and wellness?
The first tip that comes to mind when it comes to healing, because I'm gonna give one for healing, one for wellness. So healing, I would say it's essential, it's vital for you to identify what it is you need to heal from. If you don't know what it is you need to heal from, you're going to try to find the anecdote for something. I mean, you're gonna try to find a remedy for something that you don't even know you need a remedy for. You're gonna it's like a blind search. You're going into it blindly. You have to know what is bothering me, what is putting me in depression. Okay, I've identified it. Okay, next step. Maybe I need to see a therapist, or maybe I need to confront the person who did this to me, or maybe I need like whatever it is, you make that plan, you take that course of action. Then after that, whatever steps you need to take will be revealed to you. But I think the first thing you do is figure out what do you need to do? What is it that you need to heal from? You have to figure that out. And for wellness, like I mentioned earlier, find what feels right for you. I know a lot of people, like, wellness is such a buzzword thing right now. A lot of people talk about face mask and bubble baths and this and that. But if that's not you, and if you got a shower and you ain't got no bath, okay, you got to figure out what does it look like for me? What do I like to do? Do I like to go outside
Definitely.
and ground, walk in the dirt with my feet, barefooted? Do I like the walk, like you said, do I like being in the ocean, the lake? Do I like solo traveling? Do I like being by myself? Like, that's one thing for me too. Being by myself is just so soothing. And that's why Simone Sundays is so important to me, because it gives me so much time to think. And that's where that mental wellness comes in, is having a mind, having a free mind, a free thinking mind. My thoughts are just, you know, running around and they're just free roaming, because I feel like when I'm around people all the time, I don't have time to think. I don't have space to think. So wellness, for me means just like being by myself and just spending time with me, asking myself different questions and trying to figure me out every single day. I mean, I'm in this body and I'm in this mind, but I don't even know myself 100% yet. And I'm always with me. So, you know, just learning and relearning who I am is essential for my wellness journey. So for other people, I would say just find what feels right for you, what feels peaceful for you, and what makes you feel alive.
I love it. Well, thank you again, Simone, for that. In closing, I actually want to pull a quote from your website. So, girl, I'm telling you, you was dropping gems on there. I was like, hold on. Okay. So, first of all, and listeners, I invite you to visit sagereeds.com. That's SAGEREEDS.com. If you visit the about section, okay, she has it in bold for you. She tells you to use books as a tool to help feed your curiosity, expand your mind, spark conversations, and share your light. Now, the reason why this connected to me specifically is the idea and concept of light is so important to me. If you shine your light, you can help someone else see. If you shine your light, you can warm someone else who might be in a cold and dark space. I think it's so important to remember to shine your light. So if I had to give a tip in regards to healing and wellness, remember to shine your light, not to dim it for anyone or anything. And remember how important that light is. It's okay to show it to others. It's never too bright. Shine it as bright as you can, because somebody needs that light. So lend it to them, and then you need that light as well. So lend it to yourself. So as we prepare to leave, thank you so much, Simone, for your time, for your vulnerability, for your gems. They were lovely. And I would just like for you to share with everyone how they can stay abreast of what you have going on. So share with them your social media platforms, what you've got going on. Specifically, if you'd like to go in depth about your blog, I'd love for you to share that with them.
And thank you, Love, for having me. I love this. You made me want to do podcasts more often. So thank you. This was amazing. And I love what you and Courtney are doing. Like, having these spaces is just so important to share your light. That's what you guys are essentially doing, is sharing light and just sparking someone's mind. You know, just like Sage Reads may not be for everybody, Freedom Revamp may not be for everybody, but it's for somebody. And that's the goal. Yes. The goal is not to be the most popular. Well, I don't know your goal, but my goal for my blog is not to be the most popular blog. But if I can spark a mind, or if I can get someone out of their, if I can break mental shackles, and if I can, you know, just inspire someone to share their light, then I'm doing my job. So thank you and Courtney for having this platform. You guys can reach me on Instagram at sagereeds_. So that's SAGEREEDS_. And at sagereeds.com, spelled the same way. And in terms of my blog, I have an exciting project coming up, and it's going to launch, I believe, October 3rd. And So I'm having my shoot and everything tomorrow. So what it is, I can go ahead and talk about it. I'm going to,
we're getting the inside scoop.
So I am going to be starting a Sunday night bedtime reading session, because I love being read to. When I was a child, I loved bedtime stories. As an adult, I love bedtime stories. Like, I love when my boyfriend reads to me. I love hearing people read. And earlier you mentioned Alicia Keys. She reads excerpts of her book, and it is so divine. Like, and you know, her voice is already magical. So I love watching her read. Yes. Like, I just love being read to and watching people read. So I decided, why don't I like do that? And I love reading out loud too. So why don't I do that like on Instagram Live Sunday nights before we go to bed? You know, I'm gonna come in my bonnet, come in my robe, and I'm gonna read poetry and I'm gonna read short stories and put us all in like the best mind frame ever so that we can have a good night's sleep. So that series is going to begin on October 3rd. So yeah, catch me on Instagram Live at I think 9:27 p.m. And you know, just tune in, snuggle up in bed, and just hear some poetry and some short stories. So that's
I love it. So, listeners, make sure you don't miss that. And like she mentioned, please follow her on all of her platforms. Visit her website, read through her blogs, get free through the readings that she has to share. She has several recommendations for wonderful books, some that I've heard of before, some that I have not. My favorite thing about her Instagram is that she has writing prompts on there. So if you are ever stuck and you want to write, or you just want to express yourself, visit her page, scroll through, find a writing prompt, pull out your journal, and start to write. Thank you again, Simone, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in tonight. Remember to always practice freedom and have a wonderful evening.
Bye.
Take care.